Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net. Star Wars fans to episode 90 of Tatooine Sons. While millions tuned in to get their first glimpse of the Rise of Resistance ride during Freeform's Galaxy's Edge Adventures Await special, many likely missed a quote regarding the legendary planet of Bakura. What could this planet mean for the Rise of Skywalker? We'll explain along with our hot takes, poll results, and more.
Alright, David, I'm guessing you'll be able to edit this. I just wanted to say before I do your little blurb that literally while I was sitting here about to record it, I saw a bumblebee on the side of my bed. And I don't know how a bumblebee got in here, but I had to fight it and I had to crush it like a bug. But here we go. I'm going to do your little intro and I'm going to do it fast and more intense. So let's get it going. Hello, everybody. This is definitely George Lucas. I just wanted to say that you should listen to Tatooine Sons wherever you get your podcasts. You know, it's a dad telling his kids about his love of Star Wars, and it could have gone really bad, but it hasn't. It hasn't. So definitely give it a listen.
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true. It's true. All of it.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Tervis?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Tervis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that Porg's name is now Tervis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars from the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am VV Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Achuta, Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you probably haven't read Treaty at Bakura.
You got it wrong!
Truth.
You were so confident!
Truth. I knew I was saying it like sometimes.
Truce at Bakura!
Yeah, close.
Which, obviously, Samuel the Hutt hasn't read either.
Yeah, so. Truce, I mean, same idea.
No, it's different.
Or me, or Dad, have you read it?
Oh, well, I'll tell you the story about Truce at Bakura a little bit later.
And, of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So, on that note, here's my dad, Bowtie Jedi Guy.
Oh, my gosh, what a long couple of days. Force Friday going into, you know, 1 a.m. or so on Friday morning, and then yesterday was a chill day, but that's an intentionally chill day. Then today has been just crazy from start to finish.
I didn't sleep last night.
You didn't sleep well?
No.
Neither did I. I think it was all that popcorn, movie theater
probably
popcorn.
The popcorn and soda and stuff. So I'm exhausted.
Why did you not sleep well last night if you didn't have the movie theater popcorn?
Oh, that's right. We had homemade popcorn.
We did. I don't know. I did not sleep well last night.
I slept just fine.
I had movie theater popcorn today. I ate an entire large bucket.
Really?
I'm gonna be so sick.
I ate all of my.
You know that popcorn heartburn that you get?
Yes, it's the worst.
It is the worst. I'm gonna have that.
I mean,
that was because we watched Downton Abbey. We finally watched it. You guys, right? The movie Downton Abbey. Mm-hmm. We went with Mom and Grammy to go see it. Hey, Grammy, thanks.
They
for
both
listening.
Really enjoy the show.
I enjoyed the show, and I enjoyed the movie.
Yeah, but as we put it, it's not our cup of tea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a bad feeling about this.
That's like cheesy.
That's good.
Star Wars Resistance is back.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we don't need to give a full recap of the episode on this because we just got done recording.
And we want people to listen to.
So go listen. So this actually comes out on Friday, last Monday. So 4 days ago, we released our Star Wars Resistance Season 2, Episode 1 recap, where the series is going to be called Rehashing the Resistance, because everybody else is doing Resistance Recap, Resistance Rewind, and all that. They've already done that because we didn't do this show last year.
Yeah.
But we did this year. And I promise you that I can't promise because I'm not 100% sure, but I'm 99.9% sure that we are the only Star Wars Resistance Recap show that has been endorsed by Kazuda Ziono.
Yeah.
And if you listen to the show, go find it in the podcast feed. You'll hear that for yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. So we still don't have any reviews, but we haven't been focused on the reviews as much. So we added, last week we talked about Shannon T, who is our brand new Patreon supporter, that just that day had become a Patreon supporter, which was awesome. And then the next day we had Brett Luckfeld, who went from like $1 to $2 to $5 in about 12 hours. So you're awesome. Thank you so much, Brett, for being a new Patreon supporter. And then I don't know Brett as well as I know Michael. So I'm going to take a minute to brag on Michael Condon, who finally became a Tatooine Sons Patreon supporter today. Mm-hmm. We've known Michael, for 2 years almost.
Yeah.
He was one of our early listeners to the show. And Michael Condon on Twitter, he's 2med2, T-O-O, med-T-O-O, is his Twitter handle. Anyway, he holds the distinction of being the very first person to have ever ordered a Turbis the Porg shirt. He actually did a Turbis the Porg video right after, within a few days of getting that shirt, which was just about a week or two after the whole Rian Johnson Turbis the Porg thing with BB Nate. Mm-hmm. He did a video on his YouTube channel explaining what happened with it. He was so excited. And so he's been a big champion for the show for a long time. And today he became a $10 producer of the show. He wanted to get that sticker, I think. So we'll definitely be including him in that. So that's pretty cool. Before we get into all the normal stuff, just want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/Tatooine Sons. Over 180,000 titles to choose from on your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. I highly suggest that you pick up
Treaty
at Wrong! It's wrong! You did it wrong!
I did that one on purpose.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Okay, Truce at Bakura.
It's the same thing.
It's a Legends book, but we'll explain why when we get to the main topic that we want to do that. Well, let's talk about last week's podcast poll of the week.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question until after I've done it. What?
All right, so last week's podcast poll of the week was all about Kevin. Okay, I have led you down the wrong path.
Aww.
Last week, I made it really clear that I had heard that it was Kevin Feige, and then I had somebody like freak out on us on Twitter and say it was Kevin Feige, but it never was Kevin Feige.
It looks like Feige.
Okay, so anyway, which MCU is it? We talked about that last episode. And of course, that led to a long, good, fun discussion about which MCU star would you want to see in Star Wars? Well, this is a little bit of fun.
Yeah, that's a pretty tight poll.
It is. And we had a lot of votes. We had 1,188 votes in 2 days in a 48-hour period. I think that's probably the most in a 48-hour period that we've ever had with it. We've done some week-long polls that have gotten above that, but nothing like that. We have 4 different options. Chris Evans, Brie Larson, Benedict Cumberbatch, and Other Tell Us Below. Other Tell Us Below got 12%. We'll share some of your ideas in a minute on that. Benedict Cumberbatch came in third at 27%. Mm-hmm. Chris Evans came in at 30%, and Brie Larson came in at 31%. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There were lots of people that would vote and then comment below and say the reason they were picking Brie is just to send the fandom menace them crazy with it. It was actually really cool, too, because I can't remember his name. It's just escaping me. But the guy that's going to play Shang-Chi, is that what it is?
Samu Li. Is that the character name or the guy?
It's gonna be.
I know who you're talking about.
I don't remember his name.
You're using Bing.
My stupid computer rebooted, and now it's like keeps redefaulting to it, and I can't get it to stop.
Fix that.
I've tried all day today. Anyway, the character, the actor.
Just look up who plays it.
That's what I'm trying to do. But of course, this is a stupid Bing thing, majig bob search engine, and it's screwing everything up. Simu Liu. I can't pronounce it, and I apologize. I'm not trying to be insensitive. I'm just bad at pronouncing names.
We already know that with Kevin.
Feige.
Every time just to cover our bases.
Yes, that's right. He actually replied to our poll with an emoji of a little guy holding his hands up, like, "What about me?"
Right.
And so that was kind of fun. Let's go into. I'll go first because L.J. Souter. Why do I always want to call him Snowder?
I don't know. Snowder. It says Souter,
and we got to make sure we get our Patreon supporters' names right.
Yeah, that's probably important.
He's awesome, though. We actually saw him a lot at the last. We saw him both in 2017 before we even started this show. We met him and his family.
Oh yeah,
and then we met him again at Celebration, and he's been a supporter of our show for a while now. He said a lot of people are looking at this wrong. The answer is Vin Diesel in a movie about underground pod racing. It's right there in front of your face and you don't see it. He lives his life 1/4 parsec at a time.
There is such things as underground pod racing. It's very common.
Well, yeah, but that's why he's saying that. But yeah. Obviously, that's a reference to his character in the Fast and the Furious
movies. We only recently saw the first movie.
That's good. Who's got the next one?
All right. Okay. So it's the Younglings podcast.
We love those guys. Family friendly, fun TV podcast and YouTube show. It's fantastic.
Their Twitter handle is at Younglings TV.
That's cool. TV. They got to tour Lucasfilm.
That's cool. Oh, really?
Yeah.
With who?
Awesome.
With Matt.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, cool.
He likes family-friendly podcasts.
He does.
So it's a picture saying, we need this Disney Plus series, and it's Finn Wolfhard. I think that's his name.
Wow.
That plays Mike from Stranger Things.
I'm really impressed right now.
Me too. A young Ben Solo or Kylo Ren or Adam Driver or whatever you'd like to call
right.
it. And then Sebastian Stan, who plays Bucky in Winter Soldier.
Right. In the entire MCU. Yeah.
And to play young Luke Skywalker.
So we get a young Luke post-Return of the Jedi raising training a Ben Solo.
Mm.
And maybe we learn about some of the craziness that happened before the founding of Luke's Jedi Academy. I actually like the idea.
Yeah, me too. It works too, the actors. So this one is from our good friend.
We have another Patreon supporter, Rick.
We got Rick Villanueva at Cad Bane's Bounty.
He was on last week's show too.
I think he was.
It's because he's so smart.
Yes. And he said Karen Gillan as Asajj Ventress. Now, Karen Gillan played Nebula in the Guardians.
So we want somebody that's kind of got, you know, that's a bald. Martial arts act,
face painted. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We just want her to basically switch over to the Star Wars universe and do the exact same character in that universe.
Yes.
Okay. That's okay. Cool. I think she
But I could out. Actually see it though. It would work.
I could. Yeah. That's going to be a lot of fun. All right. Well, why don't we move on to the next part of the show? Could everything we think we know about the Force be changing?
Wow, that escalated quickly.
Yep. Could a new character from The Rise of Skywalker have an ancient connection to the Jedi?
It's Babu Frick, right?
No. And is Wedge back in Star Wars? It's time for hot takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
What the heck is Project Luminous? Sorry, I know. I'm a little intense about this topic. So
you're gonna have to put what I'm saying right now ahead of that headphone warning, because that's gonna get loud, very loud.
Oh yeah, no, it'll be fine. It'll balance.
Like, I do.
All right. So anyway, while little is known about this so-called newly released or forthcoming Project Luminous, Sig Lane, who was at the New York Comic Con panel about this, showed a slide. Okay, this is from StarWars.com. So if you want to find all this information, this is directly from them. So Sig Lane showed a slide that stated, "The Force is what gives a Jedi his power It's an energy field created by all living things. We know that line, right? What's that from?
Empire Strikes Back.
No.
Obi-Wan.
It's A New Hope.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
When he's first describing the Force to Luke in A New Hope. Us, it's our first understanding of the Force.
The galaxy together.
Yeah. But then the rest of the slide said, until Project Luminous 2020. He also confirmed the involvement of 5 all-star authors, including Claudia Gray, Bloodline, Lost Stars, Master and Apprentice. Justina Ireland, she did the new young adult or young readers novel that's coming, that just came, Spark of the Resistance. She did that one.
Yeah, the one with the
She's done, what was the other one that she did? I think she did Crash at Fate as well. Daniel Jose Older, he did the novelization of Solo.
Okay.
Kevin Scott, which we know him. He was on our show, yeah. And Charles Soule, Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith.
So
this is a crossover event. This is going to be novels, and this is going to be comic books, all falling underneath the Project Luminous banner. But what I want to know is why the heck they're telling us that everything that we think we understand about the Force was true until Project Luminous. What is Project Luminous, BB Nate?
I don't know, but I feel like we're going to get some clues. Not much, but some clues from Rise of Skywalker. That's why it's releasing in 2020. We've heard about this. What?
They announced this. I think it was before. No, they announced it at
the
Celebration.
Panel. Yeah.
At the author's panel.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know the details.
No.
About it.
So while it sounds really scary, I don't think it's really going to have a whole lot of impact just because it's not movies or TVs or TV series or anything. It is just books and comics. And while books and comics have introduced some crazy stuff, i.e., you know, Darth Vader and all that, it doesn't really affect a whole lot. I think they can do some crazy stuff in the Project Luminous thing, and I'm sure it'll blow our minds just like those last few issues of Darth Vader. But,
I don't know. I'm just waiting for you to finish. All right, BB-8.
But I don't think it'll really have a whole lot of impact. And you screw me up, man.
Sorry about that.
And I think I agree. Novels and comic books have not had much to do with the TV series. They're just really introducing more Force powers and abilities like Ahsoka. We did not know before then that you could use the Force to explode a lightsaber and then take the kyber crystal
and heal
when
it.
It's bleed and then heal it to make it white.
Yeah.
We didn't know all that stuff. And even with Legends of Luke Skywalker, we learned some Force powers with that.
That soft canon Legends novel.
Yes, but I mean, not Legends.
Well, it's not Legends in that context, but
no, but some Force abilities were revealed in that, and then we have the whole book of new Force abilities for what the
Here's what I think.
Jedi Code. I think it's just going to be a little bit.
I think that Project Luminous is the story that will be introduced in The Rise of Skywalker as to how
Force came to be.
How the Emperor came back from death. It's a First Order Empire Remnants project that he started, and Project Luminous is the story of how that took place that we will only have teased. It will change canon. It will turn things upside down because the Rise of Skywalker is going to do that with the Emperor. And then everybody's going to say, well, yeah, but how did that happen? How did you do that? And the answer will be Project Luminous. What do you think?
I think that makes sense. But again, you don't have to read the comics or the books for the movies to make sense.
No, but if you want the backstory, you have to read it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Is there an ancient Force connection to Zori Bliss? This is from Inverse.com. A huge clue to Zori's backstory might be hiding in plain sight. Redditor, the Coon W.
Oh, this is on Reddit? Oh, we can definitely trust this.
Theorizes that not only does Zori's role in episode 9 mirror that of Laura Croft in Tomb Raider, but insists that her costume is etched with the ancient Jedi language. Referred to by the Star Wars Rebels Ahsoka Tano as the Old Tongue, the ancient Force language has appeared on the Jedi Temple of Lothal and in the Great Temple of Yavin 4. Though the old language was never given an official name, it has appeared across several mediums of the Star Wars franchise, most notably in the Rebels animated TV series. The language, which was used by Force users across the galaxy, appears prominently on Jedi temples, but it was also seen on the walls of the Sith Temple of Malachor. However, the script is most prominent on the Masasi's Great Temple of Yavin 4, one of the moons orbiting Yavin. Look at her costume and zoom in to see some kind of language etched on her belts, the theorist writes, around her torso and her gold metallic armbands. The language looks familiar with the old language appeared in the Rebels show. Does Zori Bliss, Samuel LaHutt have a connection to the Force or the Jedi or ancient stuff like that?
Well, there, I did not notice that those writing words before. That's interesting. That would definitely change her character, because I've always just seen her as another bounty hunter or, you know, scoundrel kind of character.
Smuggler.
But if she's like a Lara Croft-esque character who maybe like
is looking for Sith artifacts, right, or Jedi artifacts.
Or is like a follower of the Jedi religion or something.
Now, maybe? It's interesting because if you look at the recent posters that have been released, the ones that actually divide the characters between, they did this with The Last Jedi as well, divide the characters between the Resistance side, but light side of the Force characters, and the First Order side, the dark side of the Force characters, they have Zori on the light side of that.
I mean, she's flying Y-wings and stuff in the Legos, and I'm almost certain she's a good guy. I mean, I think there was something else I saw that kind of proved that, but I think that'll definitely add some depth to her character, make her a little bit different.
And speaking about posters, you had the one where it was Rey and Kylo fighting in the middle of the whole, I guess, planet. We don't know what it is, but you said that it doesn't, I mean, you may think by first glance it looks like Kylo Ren.
Oh, the Brian Rood sequel trilogy collage poster. It was Brian awesome. Rood? Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
He was the person that collabed with whatever.
With the guy that did that Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, and he's pretty awesome. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, what BB Nate's talking about here is in the center of the picture, you have a battle between Rey and a Sith character with a red lightsaber. And at first, if you're just looking at the small little screenshots that we've seen, it looks like your first glance would assume it's Kylo Ren.
Right.
But when you zoom in a little bit closer, it looks like it could be someone else, maybe even Palpatine.
And that's what you thought. But if you look closer at the lightsabers, you can see a little bit of a point at one of the hilts.
Like a cross guard?
Yeah, so it looks a lot like Kylo's. Okay. So that's kind of not
there. Okay, but what do you think about the Zori Bliss thing?
I don't think... I mean, Zori Bliss might be like a person seeking the religion, seeking artifacts from the
Like the Church of the Force, like Lor San Tekka and that kind of
thing? Yes, but I don't think she's like a Force user or has connections really to the Force, because she was friends and I think still is friends with Poe.
That's what we've heard.
And they've gone on some missions together before Poe joined the Resistance.
So. What I think's interesting is if she is a Lara Croft-esque character, like she would go in and raid ancient temples of the Sith and the Jedi, finding artifacts and stuff like that. Almost like Indiana Jones, Lara Croft,
and Dr. Aphra.
Dr. Aphra, yeah. That'd be kind of interesting, like a new canon Doctor. Not new canon, sorry, a
sequel trilogy.
Yeah,
that version. All right, last thing: Star Wars adds old Wedge Antilles to a book cover. This is from ScreenRant.com. Star Wars seemingly adds old Wedge Antilles to the cover of the upcoming novel Resistance Reborn. The book, which will be published in November, is part of the Journey to the Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker line, looking to capitalize on the hype and anticipation for this December Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. It fills in the gaps between The Last Jedi and Star Wars 9, depicting Rey, Finn, and Poe Dameron's first mission together as they work with General Leia to rebuild the Resistance following the Battle of Crait. What do you think, guys? Are you excited? If we can get maybe Dennis Lawson to come back, do you think it's a possibility to get Dennis to play Wedge? You know, that's Ewan McGregor's uncle to play Wedge again in Episode 9. Do you think it's going to happen?
I'm sure, because I mean, honestly, I don't know if anything else he's doing right now. So I mean,
he's done other stuff.
He's done other stuff, but right now, I don't think he has anything on his agenda. I think we could definitely get it, and I think it would be more of just like a cool nod. Like, you'll see him in maybe like an X-Wing or something later, just as like a nod to the fans. Sort of like how they did in Rogue One with, was it Gold Leader, I think? Mm-hmm. Maybe something like that, but, you know, obviously he's older. Sort of like, you know, Lando or whatever, but a much smaller role.
Well, we've got breaking news. Another podcast out there called Rebel Force Radio. They had their producers reach out to Dennis Lawson's agent, because they've done some work with Dennis before. And Dennis Lawson's agent has confirmed that Dennis Lawson will appear in The Rise of Skywalker.
Wow.
Very exciting information.
Interesting. Well, that'll be fun. That'll be pretty cool. I mean, he didn't really have a huge role in the other movies too, but he was...
But he was a character. And actually Wedge, the character, or not the Wedge, the character, but Dennis, the actor, mm-hmm. was the guy that did the audio narration for the Thrawn trilogy, the original, Heir to the Empire and Last Command and Dark Force Rising, I think is what it was called.
Oh, that's
he
cool.
did the,
I didn't know that.
The edit, audio for it. So
that's
he's
cool.
He's been a big part of the Star Wars universe. It'll be really good to get him back in. Well, the title of an expanded universe novel has been permanently etched in my memory. So I remember sitting in the Star Wars section of Walden Books. That's a Stranger
Walden
Things
Books?
Right? Yeah, it was like a bookstore list in the mall.
Ooh.
Yeah. Multiple times debating whether or not to purchase this book or another novel that seemed interesting called Heir to the Empire. Eventually, I chose Heir to the Empire, but now Truce at Bakura has reappeared in the minds of Star Wars fans who watched last week's Galaxy's Edge Adventure Awaits special on Freeform. So, let's talk about it.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, so let's get this thing set up the right way, okay? So in that clip from The Rise of Resistance, and we're going to take this from an article from Inverse.com. It's a great article. We'll link to it. They've got a really great argument that we're going to be using as the template for our conversation today, where they talk about this secret base on Bakura, okay? Now, this is what it says, and it says, the leak comes from the Rise of Resistance ride at Galaxy's Edge, which is sort of an interactive experience featuring video recordings of the movie's main characters.
Isn't the whole thing like 15 minutes long?
The ride is, yeah.
He said at least 15 minutes.
That's insane. Exactly.
Right. Now, this is going to include, this clip includes Rey, played by Daisy Ridley, and in one moment, they capture on camera, there's a screenshot that was put out there by podcaster Aaron Goins, where he clearly states that Leia has a secret base on the planet Bakura. Now, when we were watching this the other day, I sort of flipped out a little bit. Did you guys notice a reaction from
it? A little bit. I couldn't. I never.
Because we didn't stop it, so I could explain it.
No. And then I think I had to go do something. So yeah,
this comes the word Bakura comes from a book that was released 25 years ago. It's in the Legends expanded universe, okay? And it's called The Truce at Bakura, okay?
Not the treaty, no.
So when I heard this, my ears immediately perked up, mm-hmm. Because there's a history with that. There's an idea that comes from that. Now, what's interesting is that the writer of this article on Inverse, they actually are bringing in what they think is a connection to some unused footage from The Force Awakens. The article goes on to say there's a lot to unpack in just those seven short words, but let's start with General Organa's secret base. That could mean a lot of things, but it's worth noting that Galaxy's Edge is set between the events of The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker, so whatever base Rey is referring to could possibly play a key role in Episode 9, and we may already know what Leia is doing on that secret base. So rumor has it that they have a lot of, that there was an unused plot line from Episode 7, The Force Awakens, and it showed Leia Organa pursuing her own Death Star-level weapon in an attempt to wipe out the First Order.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Now, this didn't make it into the movie. Mm-hmm. We know that. But we don't know for sure whether or not it was filmed. Mm-hmm. Okay? You could also explain why Leia and the Resistance operated separately from the Republic. They were too radical for the official government to endorse, at least publicly, which is always something in The Force Awakens that was confusing to me. Why is this Resistance sort of this separate group that's for lack of a better term, sort of ostracized from the New Republic. Yeah. There's people within the New Republic that know the Resistance, but even when you go to, you know, we talked about Star Wars Resistance on the last recording we did, and we mentioned it at the beginning of this, but, you know, even that, we've got, at the very first episode, you've got Kaz, whose dad is a senator in the Resistance, and you've got Kaz who's working as a pilot for the Republic. You've got Kaz that's working as a pilot in the New Republic and then recruited away from that.
Yeah.
Into the Resistance. So there's a distinction very clear. Always wondered why that is. This might be
part of that.
Exactly, part of it. So if Disney might have some extra Leia footage just sitting around collecting dust, it makes a lot of sense that they're going to be using that in the Rise of Skywalker. They've said that they're going to use all that.
Yeah, they have to.
So teasing that secret base on Bakura could be a clever way to establish the planet as the home to a powerful new weapon that could help the good guys win in Episode 9. Now let's take a second to talk about that. What do you think about the idea of Leia Organa and the Resistance creating their own Death Star tech?
So I have said multiple times very vehemently that I do not want a third Death Star or a second Death Star, whatever. A second Death Star in this series. I do not want it. But that being said, if it's from the Resistance and the Resistance is using it, not as opposed to it as before. I think that's interesting that the Resistance is so ready to defeat this that they're willing to go to pretty extreme measures to wipe them out. Even evil measures. I mean, this is what the Empire and the First Order have been using for the whole time they've been in this fight. So for Leia to be able to be willing to go to those to that extent to be able to wipe them out is pretty interesting. And that's why I would actually kind of like to see something like that.
What do you think about that, BB-8?
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with another Death Star if it's used by the Resistance. I feel like other people...
Well, we don't know that it's a Death Star. It could be Death Star level 10.
Right.
Yes, I understand. Okay. Just like something like that. I mean, we already know that there's going to be something kind of like it scaled down, at least from the trailers in The Rise of Skywalker. We do see the planet getting kind of bombarded.
Yeah.
From a kind of a looking Starkiller base, more like tech. But I feel like if it's used by the Resistance to just end the war, I feel like that would be a little...
Yeah, it's a very Hiroshima, Nagasaki, yeah. World War II, Truman-esque... Harry Truman level kind of decision. Are we willing to obliterate something? But that's very Galactic Empire, Thrawn,
yeah.
Krennic mindset.
It's dark.
It is dark.
I think that they may have this tech and they may, tease it and talk about it. And they may get to the point where Leia's almost about to use it and then almost like her dipping into the dark side a little bit, and then someone, I don't know, maybe Ben or something, decides, or someone turns her and keeps her from using that device, showing her that it's not good to be doing this right now.
And you kind of just answered something like a little bit of a theory prediction good or wrong, probably.
Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Got a prediction sure to go wrong right now. Okay.
Most likely.
Okay.
But you just said it's a very Krennic-like, Thrawn-like
Tarkin-like, too. Yeah, Tarkin's obsession with the Death Star was
insane. And Thrawn really
strength
liked
through
the idea.
Peace through yeah. power is
Krennic was just using it for his own power and just to assert authority. But Tarkin and Thrawn both thought it was a great tactic to use in the war. But with this new Thrawn book trilogy that we're getting, and
well, we'll talk about that Thrawn book in a little bit.
Maybe coming back. It is a very Thrawn
I think there's something you don't know about that trilogy that we need to discuss. We'll do that in the Anything Else segment there at the end. Do I have that in there?
Yeah, I think you do.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. So we'll come back to that. Here's the interesting thing too, is one of the things that's happened in the new era of Star Wars, the Disney canon version of Star Wars, is we've seen this graying of those black and white distinctions with them showing the First Order as there are people within the First Order that think that they're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. There are people within the Galactic Empire that think they're doing the right thing. Their motives are right. The idea that the rebellion are a bunch of terrorists, and that they've given that perspective, from the Empire's, mindset and the First Order's mindset, through this. The Jedi, were the reason that Darth Sidious rose, according to Luke Skywalker, it was the Jedi couldn't see what was going on. And all these lines are starting to get grayed, which leads me to wonder if they're not going to gray the lines a little bit more with making this, you know, this resistance thing is got its problems too, mm-hmm. With it. Now here's where it gets interesting. The extended universe, meaning the non-canonical, Star Wars novel, The Truce at Bakura, details an incident between the rebellion's leaders and this reptilian Sea Rook race that takes place shortly after the events of The Return of the Jedi. The book, which features Luke, Han, and Leia, reveals that the Sea Rook possess a powerful technology that's powered by life forms. The Sea Rook also become aware of the Force and believe that Force-sensitive beings would make their tech even more
weird.
Powerful.
Because I was thinking, what if this Death Star level technology, I hadn't read this part of the notes. I thought, what if this Death Star level technology was powered by Force users or something? I thought that'd be kind of a cool idea. I'm not even knowing that was where we were going with this.
Well, now in the book, eventually the Force Ghost of Obi-Wan shows up and warns Luke that the Sea Rook are dangerous. Meanwhile, Anakin's ghost also shows up and apologizes to Leia for being a terrible father.
That changes really quickly. Hey, these people are dangerous. Oh, and by the way, I'm a terrible father.
Well, this is a different one.
I know.
Yeah, no, Obi-Wan was the one that said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eventually, the good guys win and manage to escape Bakura. And in the end, the New Republic attempts to keep the entire incident a secret, especially the Sea Rook and their scary technology. So what do you think about the plot line of Truce at Bakura?
It's interesting. Seems kind of short, but that just may be like a
really Well, it's like a two-paragraph synopsis.
Yeah.
It's a big book.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Was it good?
I didn't read it.
Oh, that's right.
I got Heir to the Empire instead.
I think that was a smart choice.
Well, I'm going to check it out.
It played a lot of importance in this podcast.
It has.
That's interesting. I like the idea. It sounds like it could fit really nicely, or parts of it could fit really nicely into The Rise of Skywalker, just because it's this new republic talking with this new race, right? Or this race of aliens that have nice technology that powered by life forms, and they figure out, ooh, maybe Force users would be good for that. And, you know, now with Leia being able to access the Force in a way, and she, you know, we saw, she. This is footage from Force Awakens, so maybe they thought that, maybe they filmed her using it or something. You know, they could have her using that or powering that. I mean, it all could fit really nicely in there, which I find interesting.
What do you think about the storyline for The Truce of Bakura?
I feel like it is, like you said, it would be a big book because there's a lot to explain and that we just explained in two paragraphs. But I feel like the whole alien race and them being evil and that kind of stuff would not fit into The Rise of Skywalker as well as we're planning on it. They have a lot to wrap up and they have a lot to do in the span of one movie. So I feel like it's going to be more of just a planet that they can use, a secret base on a planet they can use. Kind of like,
yeah, I'm not sure they're going to be bringing in the Sea Rook or anything like that.
Bringing in any of that, because they don't bring in much of the legend stuff from Thrawn or anything like that.
What if Bakura is this planet that has lots of ancient relics that Zori Bliss knows about or is trying to find, and some of those relics
she's on.
And some of those relics are ancient technologies that are powered via force users or something, and that might be super weapons. I don't know. It's maybe an idea.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting idea. I mean, it could be nothing more than just a little nod to the legends.
Oh, and it probably is
with it, but it's an interesting way to move forward. So why does any of this matter? How could this connect to the rise of Skywalker? Well, if Leia's secret base is on Bakura and this dangerous technology weapon was also on Bakura, then maybe that's what Leia was after. Of course, the Truce of Bakura is non-canonical, didn't happen in the Star Wars universe where Rise of Skywalker takes place, but that doesn't mean the new movie can't take inspiration from the expansion universe.
So do you know what Zay and
Shriv?
Yeah.
Well, I do know that they're being brought into the Rise of Resistance book. They're bringing it. They're like, it's all coming together like we've been predicting for months now.
Yes. And do we know if they're like
what they've been doing
or finding supplies? We don't know what they're doing, but I feel like it just would have something kind of to do with this because they've worked with their mom who's worked with this.
So what do you mean worked with this?
I mean, they've worked with the mom was in the Empire when all this Death Star technology was happening. So they may have some, or Shriv even, so they may have some insight on what was going on.
Interesting.
That's interesting. Yeah, so what do you think, guys? Is it going to happen or not? Do you think that they're going to like go down this path in The Rise of Skywalker and that they're setting the stage for it right now?
I feel like they're going to be bringing in the planet, but I don't think they're going to be doing much more than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really bold idea, and it's really... I mean, that would have to be pretty much the central plot of the film. And I'm not sure how Palpatine would fit into that. And it would be cool, but I don't see it how, from what we know, how it could fit in the story. So I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd just be the planet.
Well, I don't think it's going to be a major plot line of the book.
Maybe.
I think that the reality would make it hard to... It's just hard for me to still wrap my head around Galaxy's Edge and the timeline.
Yeah.
That's where I'm struggling with it.
It's a strange... I don't know. It's weird. And even the timeline with everything that's going on with Galaxy's Edge. We got the Rise of Resistance set between Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker. But the rest of the park seems to be a little different because Rey's still... Well, the Rey that's being shown is still in the Jakku...
scavenger outfit. Yeah.
Scavenger outfit.
Kylo Ren's mask isn't broken.
So that's...
On Batuu.
Yeah, that's for some reason all set before she even goes to Luke. And doesn't seem like it would fit into the timeline because Kylo Ren... And there's... The timeline just doesn't make sense and you have no idea where it would fit in because there's no way it could fit in from what it seemed like.
Yeah, I mean, that's the struggle for me too because...
I messaged Matt on this one to figure out where it is.
Yeah, man.
Well, I think. Yeah, no, I think.
Pablo.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Galaxy's Edge says it's set right in
on the timeline that they released at
D23. It's like set after The Last Jedi, in between The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker, right at before the end of Resistance.
Hmm.
But yeah,
that's weird.
Yeah,
I have no clue how this would fit in any further than just a nod for Legends. But it's an interesting idea, especially regardless of whether or not it's Bakura or anything like that. I am curious. I had not heard that theory about Leia in Force Awakens wanting to make that Death Star level tech to try to obliterate. I love that idea. Mm-hmm. I love the idea that could the Resistance become so fearful and overwhelmed with the idea of the Galactic Empire coming back through the First Order and seeing that happen, that they become the very thing that they hate, which is a very Star Wars idea. It's Anakin, it's you know, all that kind of stuff.
Like the Resistance and the Rebellion were just holding them off. was just kind of keeping them back. Keeps, like, they blew up the Death Star. They kind of set up the Death Star 2. They blew up the Death Star 2. And then in Force Awakens, they blew up Starkiller Base.
You feel like they're just kind
of... And it's just kind of like they keep going. They keep pushing them back, and they keep coming back. And if they use this technology, it will put them down for a good while or forever. And so I think they're just like, we're done. We cannot keep doing this because there's so many casualties.
Maybe the Resistance was trying to develop this tech not as a weapon for attack, but as a deterrent. Maybe it's sort of the Cold War idea with nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
You know, they know that Starkiller, or I guess they didn't know that Starkiller Base was being defined, because we didn't know about that until Force Awakens. I don't think that they find that out till the Force Awakens.
That's true.
But the idea is they're fearful of this kind of thing happening, so they need a deterrent, a nuclear level deterrent, something that could protect them. Because if they have, you know, if you're in the room with a guy with a gun and you don't have a gun, you're pretty much screwed.
Right.
But if you both have guns, then let's talk. You know, let's figure out how we're going to do this. It's that kind of a moment. It was the way that the Cold War took place. Maybe that's where they were going with it. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we'll find out more about this when the trailer drops on October 14th in just a few days.
What if the First Order built Starkiller Base as a reaction to...
Well, that would be an interesting thing.
That would be a twist right there.
All right. Well, is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
Yeah, so Thrawn Ascendancy is to begin June 2020. This is a new trilogy of books, right?
Yes.
It's a trilogy.
By Timothy Zahn.
By Timothy Zahn, yeah.
And somebody said that it was a prequel and his hair
is long. It is a prequel.
Well, that makes sense.
It is a prequel. So, yeah. It's telling the story of him. That's where I was going to get to when you were talking earlier. It's actually a story of him when he was with the Ascendancy.
That makes more sense.
Before, with the Chiss, before the events of the original Thrawn book.
Then maybe we'll get one book to tie it all up.
That'd be kind of cool. Maybe we'll get some Ezra stuff here from that eventually.
So, Porks, are showing up all over The Journey to the Rise of Skywalker, not just issue 27 of Star Wars Adventures.
Coming out October 30th, where Tyrus, we think, will be made canon.
More like Spark of the Resistance and a lot of other things.
Some kids' books where they're showing scenes and there's Porgs. So here's the big question. Do we think on October 14th, just like 3 or 4 days from now, that when the trailer drops during Monday Night Football, I think it's Packers Lions playing, though they got to do something to get people to watch that game. Do you think that we see Porgs in the trailer? BB Nate.
Yes.
Yes.
It's more of like a thing I want.
Yeah, I think that they've been releasing so much stuff with Porgs on it that it's time.
And it's one scene where they're like in the background of the Falcon.
And it's Monday Night Football, so it's not like Good Morning America where kids would just be bored out of their minds. It's a football to watch.
Yeah, they're not watching the football.
Yeah. Well, no, just it's like...
All right. Anyway, well, Ewan McGregor's Star Wars rat tail from when he was Padawan.
Yeah.
And Phantom Menace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
His hair.
His hair, you know, the Padawan.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It sold this week for nearly $3,000.
That's nasty.
I got a bad feeling about this.
You don't think it's like his real hair, do you?
No.
I don't think so.
That would be who else can say that they have Obi-Wan Kenobi's Padawan braid?
This is madness.
No.
Yeah, well,
no, thank you.
Not your thing. All right, mm-hmm. So let's get your opinions on this. Have you read Truce at Bakura? And if so, what do you think? Is it going to show up in Episode 9? We've got yes, no. Where's Bakura?
Where is Bakura?
I don't know. It's in the Legends universe, apparently. and other comment below. Does it sound like a book that you would want to read?
No, because it's Legends.
Yeah, I was going to say no because it's not new canon.
I think I would check it. I'm going to check it out on audio if I can get it from audible.com.
How is Legends of Luke Skywalker?
It's great on audio. We talked about that last
episode. I know, but
I haven't had time to finish it. No. All right. We want to thank all of our producers, including our brand new producer, Michael Condon. Yeah, woo! And all of our other new supporter, Brett Lukefeld, as well. But then our producers, Michael Condon, DJ Blake, Emily Hoffman, Eric McGilvray, and Ian Thompson. Of course, our senior producers, Kate Disney Lugers. She's a great mom. Judith Jesse. Hi, mom. Hi, Grammy.
I think you said that exactly.
I did say something similar to that last week, yeah. And Roberto Moreno. And guys, we are really, really pushing. Let's take a second. If you've gotten all the way to this part of the show, and this is not a review thing. This is about Patreon. Guys, if you've gotten all the way to this part of the show, then you're a diehard. I mean, you've endured the train wreck.
So
thank you so much for listening to this point. Here's what we're doing. We've got so many meetups that we're scheduled to do over the next 3 months.
One per month.
Yeah, October 30th, Iron Lion Comics here in Colorado Springs. We're doing a live podcast there during the release of Star Wars Adventures issue number 27. Turbis is going to be canonized. We are 99.9% sure. Until we see it in print, we won't say 100 with that. We're going to be doing a live podcast there. We're going to be doing a live podcast from GameStop here in Colorado Springs. They're expecting between 200 and 250 people at that for the release of Jedi Fallen Order on November 14th. I think it's at 15th. It's the evening of the 14th. And then we're going to be doing a live podcast from AMC Chapel Hills 13 here in Colorado Springs on the evening of December 19th for the Thursday night premiere of The Rise of Skywalker. Here's why we're doing these shows. We want to take what we're doing and get it out of the... we want to take it offline. All right. Yeah. Here's what I've noticed, being at Celebration in 2017, being at Celebration in 2019, being at the Mark Hamill, star ceremony in Hollywood, in 2018, participating in some different fan things at San Diego Comic-Con, doing stuff with, at Scum and Villainy. And even this last week, last weekend at, Triple Force Friday.
Yeah.
Okay. When we get together in person, Star Wars fandom is not nearly as toxic.
It's really not.
Even with people that don't agree with you, we have good conversations. Yeah. We're respectful. We have nice debates. And what I think the solution to the toxicity online, through Twitter and social media and all the goofiness that's going on there, is to take the Star Wars conversation offline. Mm-hmm. And start meeting each other face to face and seeing each other. And so we're doing that in October, November, and December. And we want to keep doing that all the way into next year, if not quarterly, maybe even more often than that. But what that means is that we need more resources. Okay. We want to have giveaways at these that costs money. We want to promote them online through social media advertising and things like that. That costs money. We'd like to see this thing. I would like to see this thing build up to like a fan event for Star Wars fans in Colorado once a year where we're all getting together. But that's going to be more advertising costs, more costs for guests and special speakers and things coming to it. All of that's going to cost money. We're not asking you to give, if you don't like this show, obviously, we're not asking you to give more than what you can handle or you can afford. $1 a month is still enough to help us. If we get enough of you out there that listen to the show to simply just give $1 a month to help support this. And if you feel so led to give $5, $10, $25 or more, we'd be grateful for that as well. But we want to create an army of Patreon supporters that help fund this every single month so that we can start building this up, start advertising these things, promoting these things, and start trying to take Star Wars positivity off of Twitter and off of Facebook and off our podcast and bring it offline into the real world. And we need your help to do that. So that's probably the longest Patreon appeal that I think I've ever done.
Yeah, probably.
On this show. But I'm hoping that if you've waited this long for the show and you've heard it, then you know why this is so important to us. So go to our Patreon page. We are really trying to ramp this up in October. Go to patreon.com/TatooineSons. It's going to be linked in the show notes as well. Check out our different offerings for the different levels. Watch our welcome video. And if you feel like you can be a part of creating this army of positivity that we're actually going to take into the real world and not just keep it online, then join us in this mission to bring Star Wars positivity to the rest of the world. That's probably all I'm going to say about that. So, good show, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate you. Anything else you guys want to say?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you. Always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
droid, please.
Yep, yep.
Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.